Welcome to the Mama Project podcast, where we discuss all things pregnancy, postpartum, motherhood, parenting, and beyond. I am your host, Christine Ziffra, a mom to an incredible baby girl, two fur babies, and married to the most amazing man and life partner. I am an entrepreneur, former gym owner, lifelong athlete, and career fitness professional. I am a lover of all things fitness, especially strength training and triathlons. Mama Project is a coaching platform where I provide other moms unique strategies to improve both their physical and mental health during seasons of pregnancy and postpartum. The goal of this podcast is to supply you with tools and resources to guide you wherever you're at in your journey, offer inspirational stories from myself and guests, ultimately educating and entertaining you along the way. If you are a mom, currently pregnant, or recently postpartum, this podcast is for you. I would love it if you subscribed so that you can get updated when a new episode is released. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Mama Project podcast. Today, I have Sapna Patel on, and she is a pelvic floor physical therapist, and she owns her own practice. It's called Pelvic Therapy and Fitness in Hoffman Estates. Sapna, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah. So I, just before we hit record, we were talking a little bit about her background and how she didn't start in pelvic floor physical therapy, but she has been practicing for a long time, and she has two sons, 15 and 18. So you can imagine that pelvic floor physical therapy wasn't really a thing back then. So Sapna, tell us a little bit about your journey and what led you ultimately to deciding to specialize in pelvic floor physical therapy.
Sure. And thanks again for having me on. This has been really exciting to partner with different community members who all have kind of the same interest in women's health and trying to empower the women, just in kind of in our community. So my journey started in orthopedics. I have been a graduate for a long time. I went to St. Louis University, started in ortho, did that for kind of a long time. The ortho world definitely puts a little bit of a taxing demand on moms as far as hours. So that journey led me a little bit into pediatrics. In my own journey with my son being premature, my second one, I kind of dabbled into pediatrics at that point because he had some special needs. And I think that as moms, we connect the most with what's going on in our life kind of right then and there. And at that moment, kind of helping other kids was really important to me because I kind of saw my own struggles and things that I would have liked support-wise as a mom of someone who had a child who was 6 weeks early. So that kind of led me into the pediatric world, and that was a wonderful experience, those 7 to 8 years. And then following that, of course, working with pediatrics, you work with moms and working with lots of moms and getting close to lots of moms with babies, postpartum. And I would hear quite a bit, Sapna, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to exercise again. I'm leaking all the time. I'm having pain with intercourse. My own personal journey is that I'm very much into fitness. I always have been. That's been a part of my life since I was probably, 19 years old. Hearing that women, I know how important it is to me to make sure that I stay, I can do my own fitness routine. Knowing that other women didn't have that or didn't know what to do, I was like, wow, this is a thing, and I should really dive into this a little bit more. And from that, started to look into women's health. And, at this time, women's health was starting to become a little bit more popular. And I realized, I'm like, I would love to understand more about pelvic health and how physical therapy can help. So I went and took my first course in New York and got my certification and fell in love and told my husband, this is it. This is where the journey ends. And from that point forward, did pelvic health and then decided to kind of go my own way and open up my own practice, kind of focusing on pelvic therapy, rehabilitation, as well as fitness. Again, I think, connecting with women and whatever makes them happy, whether it's walking, whether it's yoga, whether it's a HIIT class, whether it's bar, whatever makes you happy, being able to feel confident and secure that you can do that. And that can go with any women's health condition. It doesn't have to be postpartum. It can be during your pregnancy. It can be post-op hysterectomy. Maybe you're someone who has never had children, but you have a history of PCOS and you are also struggling with just some pelvic tension and pain and a lot of back pain, again, these are things that we can work with to ensure that, you know, you have good mobility and you're able to do the things you love. So that's kind of what, you know, kind of invented pelvic therapy and fitness. And here we are.
That's amazing. So talk to us about like typical clientele you see. I know you said, you know, it's all pelvic health. So it's a lot of pregnancy, postpartum. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. So we love to see, you know, our pregnant patients, our postpartum patients. We believe that when our pregnant patients are coming in here, they actually do much better postpartum because they are super aware of their pelvic floor. They feel a little bit more empowered during labor. They're able to really identify with how to push and what maybe works best for them. So we do, we see a lot of people in those two categories, but we also do see a lot of post-op, like I said, hysterectomy. We are seeing a kind of an influx in patients who are going through the infertility journey, just helping them become aware of their pelvic floor, how to relax their pelvic floor. And I think that's important. It gives them a sense of support that in their body that they maybe can't see because you can't see the pelvic floor muscles. So I think it's really important that when they're aware of it, it gives them a sense of comfort as to what is going on. So we have been seeing some clients who are kind of moving into that journey as well. We see a lot of patients with painful intercourse, and that could be as a result of postpartum. It could be a result of just something that's kind of been with them for a very long time. That condition is called vaginismus, which is something that is actually been there since they were maybe young. They were never able to put a tampon in. And so we see a lot of patients varying ages for that diagnosis. We see a lot of leaking. And again, that can be postpartum, that can be pregnant, that can also just be, we have a lot of young athletes who are actually suffering from a lot of incontinence because there's a lot of stress on their pelvic floor. So we're seeing kind of a young age now of female athletes as well that we are trying to help them kind of identify with why that's happening and kind of getting them back on track. So we also see patients with GI issues. So that's something that most people don't think a pelvic floor therapist can help with, but constipation, fecal urgency, fecal incontinence. If you are someone who suffered with a grade 3 tear during postpartum, you can have some indications of potential fecal urgency or incontinence, which is can be a very scary thing for someone. So we definitely work with both of those conditions as well. So again, a lot of GI stuff also kind of presents to us as well. Prolapse is another one. Again, that can present postpartum or can present anytime really in a woman's life where she's feeling some pressure. She's feeling a little bit of things dropping, so to speak. And so we deal with a lot of pressure management. And then, you know, we kind of dabble into the orthopedic world. We have a lot of patients who come to see us when they've seen maybe a regular orthopedic therapist and they can't really get better. It's because they need a little bit of work internally to help release their SI, maybe release their tailbone because they're having some tailbone pain, hip, back pain. We see quite a bit of that ties into the pelvic floor. So that kind of comes across our board and we do some dry needling. And of course, then we kind of get everybody kind of fitness prescription, like what will help them get back to maybe seeing you, maybe going back to their gym, what can get them there safely and confidently.
I talk a lot about pelvic health and pelvic floor physical therapy and the importance of it. And I think a lot of women or just people in general think that they, you know, they don't have to go until something's wrong. Are you seeing that pregnant patients are coming like before, like just as kind of a precautionary, like kind of like prehabilitative things that they're coming
absolutely.
For?
Absolutely. That's been the big trend. And some of that is thankful, to be honest with you. Some of that has been thankful to social media. There has been a lot out there with like, hey, empower yourself, educate yourself. The doulas have been amazing to kind of let patients know, hey, you can go see, you know, a pelvic therapist pregnant. You know, so what we're seeing is, you know, people coming in just to understand what their pelvic floor is, you know, doing, how it's changing throughout the pregnancy. And if you're not having any straight dysfunction during pregnancy, then what we tell you is, you know what, come see us once a month, come see us every time you have that 4-week appointment, make sure everything's going okay. Let us kind of adapt as your body is changing and we're going to work with it. And then towards the last trimester is when we're really honing in on, is there any, you know, pubic symphysis pain? Are you having any hip pain? And then talking about labor positions. How can we educate you on how do you want to labor? Do you want to labor on the ball? Are you talking unmedicated, medicated? What are some of the things that you want in your birth plan that you can discuss with your doctor? You know, so really empowering these women to feel more calm, because that's going to let their pelvic floor relax a little bit, which then allows us, those hips to open up, your hips open up more, the baby has more room, hopefully reducing the chance of, you know, any sort of decreasing the trauma a little bit. You know, so we're really seeing a big trend in that, which has been absolutely amazing. We're seeing people's postpartum visits cut in half, those of us who come to see us pregnant.
That's great.
You're much busier when you have that baby. So,
yeah, exactly. It's a lot harder to get to those appointments and things like that.
And they feel so happy that they're not stressed about coming, because they can come like once every 3 weeks and not have to come weekly.
Right.
So that's been amazing.
What about postpartum? So what's the earliest you see a patient? And then what does your initial exam look like for those patients?
Sure. So we tell patients, you know, if you're having any orthopedic issues prior to 6 weeks, whether it's back pain, upper back pain, SI pain, hip pain, that is limiting you from maybe carrying the baby, nursing the baby, allowing you to sit, all those things are super important, you know, as these first 4 to 6 weeks that you're caring for your newborn. And we want to make sure that, you know, you're comfortable doing it. So then we say you can come as early as that. If you're not having really any issues, and we tell most of our patients when after you see the doctor at 6 weeks, then we'll see you right after that. So we can do an internal pelvic floor exam and make sure that, you know, if there's any scar tissue, and if it's a C-section, you know, can we look at the scar? Can we try to get things moving for you? So as far as what the exam looks like, you know, just depending on vaginal birth versus C-section, it's a little bit different. Either way, you're going to get your orthopedic exam. We're going to kind of see, hey, how are you moving? What's your rib cage doing? What's your breathing look like? What's your pressure management look like? How are you? Are you breathing a lot into those abdominals? Are you breathing too much into your chest? Are you putting pressure on your pelvic floor? We're going to look at your diastasis, which is the muscle separation that a lot of women experience postpartum. So we're going to test for that. And then as long as, you know, per the patient's consent, we're going to do an internal pelvic exam, which usually consists of just one digit. And we're going to assess for scar tissue. We're going to assess to see how are you squeezing? How are you relaxing? Are you able to do those things? And do you have any trigger points in your pelvic floor that could limit you? We're also going to ask a lot of questions about nursing and diet and trying to see how your bowel movements are going, just as far as keeping everything, kind of putting everything back together. And then we're also going to kind of start you with some exercises depending on where you're at and kind of what you need. So we kind of do a full exam from like top to bottom, as well as kind of, you know, a lot of functional stuff to make sure that you are picking up the baby without pain, you are carrying, and you're, you know, have some good mechanics to help, you know, restore all that mobility.
I didn't realize how much like posture came into play after. Like I had so much like upper back pain when I was initially postpartum that I was like, oh my gosh, like I had to do so much like stretching and mobility work. And I was just like, my upper back is like trashed from this nursing and, you know, the, like that cradle position and everything like that.
So, you know, and not just that cradle postpartum, even pregnancy, like everything comes forward because your center of gravity's changed so much. So you've got these 9 months where the center of gravity is changing significantly. And then as soon as you have the baby, then you're nursing and you're in an awkward position. So interesting that thoracic mobility, it's so important that that's one of the first things we work on. And we check for a lot of jaw tension. And if you're clenching, because a lot of that tension affects your pelvic floor. So if we can get rid of that, your pelvic floor is the most forgiving muscle in your body because it's made to have multiple children, right? Like, so a lot of times the old school thought from doctors was always like, why do you need pelvic floor therapy? It's just, that's normal. You know, it's going to happen. But what we're trying to get, you know, people to understand is that at some point your pelvic floor is going to give out if you, just like any other muscle, if you don't rehab it. So even after your first, if you kind of rehab everything and you make sure, hey, is my length tension relationship okay? Is my pelvic floor working as a really good trampoline, you know, being able to bounce up and down to handle all the forces? Then you know what, after the second one, I may not have these dysfunctions, the prolapse, the leaking, you know, and I may be able to activate my abdominals better and I won't have, you know, any of these symptoms. Maybe they don't come on till the third one, but It's kind of like, let's keep that spring, you know, nice and, you know, rehabbed and restore their normal length tension relationship, which I think would be, is so important for women to kind of understand that they don't have to wait till something's wrong, because it just kind of keeps the process going. Cause our pelvic floor is made to constantly forgive us. That's what it does.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you talk to us a little bit about Kegels and why they may not always be the answer? Because I think you hear that a lot in our world, right? It's like, oh, just do Kegels, or just, and it's not the best advice sometimes in some situations, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I'm so glad that you brought that up. That is just so, such a thing that you hear everywhere. You know, you look on Google and like the second thing everything says is just do Kegels, just do Kegels. If you, and I kind of, you know, explain it like a really like tight fist or like a tight bicep. Like if you're someone who's walking around, you know, like this, and you imagine your pelvic floor like this, you know, as a fitness person, you would never give someone a bicep curl who was stuck like this, because there's nowhere for them to go. So a Kegel is similar in the sense that if you already have a lot of pelvic floor tension and someone is telling you to squeeze and constantly lift, you potentially are making that situation worse. And a lot of times you'll hear women say, okay, yeah, maybe I'm not leaking as much, but now I have to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes, you know, because now you've increased your urgency because you've taken that muscle and you've tightened it even further. If you're someone who's experiencing any sort of pelvic pain, whether it's postpartum or just in general, and you decide to do Kegels, most likely you're going to make that situation worse because you're taking those muscles and you're tightening them and trying to squeeze them even further. So what you really need to do is relax them in order to actually do a proper Kegel. No one is saying Kegels are bad. They're just not always done at the correct time. Timing is everything. Like that's why it's so important to see a pelvic floor PT so they can assess those muscles and tell you, yes, you have tension, or is your pelvic floor underactive, or is it overactive? Mm-hmm. That's going to tell us what you need in order to start doing Kegels. And I think the other thing that is important to recognize that you are doing a functional Kegel almost every day. Like if you are someone who squats, you're doing a Kegel when you lift. If you do lunges, you're doing a Kegel. So those, you know, women who are doing fitness programs, I always educate them on, let's work on how to do a functional Kegel. So it becomes part of your daily life and you're working on contracting and relaxing instead of just sitting somewhere at a stoplight and saying to yourself, I have to do 10 squeezes. Mm-hmm, you know, right. I feel like that is like, I love when women are, you know, working out with other fitness instructors or women who are already doing a lot of these glute exercises with them. Your glutes are probably your biggest support system of your pelvic floor. So if you are actively working the glutes in your lower abdominals, you are working your pelvic floor. And that to me is such an important concept as far as a Kegel, instead of just squeezing a muscle that you're not even sure should you be squeezing unless you've been properly assessed, because you wouldn't just squeeze something unless you knew that, hey, should I actually be doing this?
Right. So if they're in a position where they're someone that holds a lot of tension, which could cause symptoms, right?
Correct.
Like how do you, or like what guidance do you give to clients? Like how do you teach them to relax or release?
So the best way to initially teach them, so we always make pelvic floor therapy kind of in three different phases. So your phase one is awareness. So a lot of our manual internal work is getting you to feel that release. So if I'm working on you internally, I'm going to, you know, educate you on how to release that muscle. And so I can feel it and give you the awareness. And it all comes a lot from your breath, you know, your diaphragm and your pelvic floor are best friends. So as your diaphragm expands, your pelvic floor is expanding as well. So making sure you're getting that 360 breathing, but then also being able to let go. Are you, you know, holding your abs in all the time, or are you able to let your belly actually go to open up your pelvic floor? So we're going to give you a lot of stretches and cueing on how to relax that pelvic floor. To me, once they get that concept and we can give them exercises and stretches, they can incorporate how to relax their pelvic floor. Like one really good stretch just visually would be kind of the frog stretch. If you kind of support yourself against a wall and put a yoga block underneath your pelvis area, it's a really nice way to open up those hips and relax the pelvic floor. So we are going to give people cues and ideas of, all right, can you feel that? And one of the best places to actually work on relaxing your pelvic floor is in the bathroom, because you got to let go to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one of the first things we educate women on is, hey, 7 times a day when you go to the bathroom, use this technique to feel your pelvic floor let go. And most times women are like, wow, and I probably peed a little bit more, and that helps mm-hmm. empty. Mm-hmm. And if you empty yeah. more, guess what? You won't leak. Right. So it's we're really educating on that first session on how to feel that pelvic floor let go, because most of us are holding it up here. So mm-hmm. there's manual feedback, tactile feedback. And then once they kind of get that, then we're giving them exercises to incorporate so they can feel it themselves. That's the hardest thing, because again, you can't see the muscle. So you're right. really relying a lot on your nervous system, your breath work, and kind of that feedback that the physical therapist is giving you on how to relax that muscle.
Talk to us a little bit about your pelvic pain patients and like what they complain of when they come in to see
sure.
you.
So pelvic pain can range from, you know, is there associated back pain? Probably 80% of the time. So the studies show that the correlation between low back pain and pelvic pain is about 80%, you know, so the area goes pretty hand in hand. So you'll typically hear that they have some sort of back pain. They may not always have like actual vaginal pain when they come in. Sometimes it's only with insertion. These patients typically complain about difficulty with using a tampon, difficulty with tolerating a woman's wellness exam, and pain with intercourse, you know? So any sort of insertional pain that we see, what we're looking at is we're looking a lot at your history. You know, are you going to be someone who's more on the lane of you've never been able to insert anything in that area, never had a pelvic exam, never been able to use a tampon? Or are you someone that used to be able to have intercourse? Maybe you've had a child and then something traumatic happened and the pelvic floor went into some severe muscle guarding or pain. So both situations can happen, and we've seen them on both ends of the spectrum. So the first thing we're going to do is kind of assess to see where you fall in that category. So again, some patients will say, yes, you know, it's very painful. It's always been painful. And some are triggered by, you know, like I said, having a baby, some scar tissue. It can be a variety of different things. Sometimes painful intercourse can be due to nursing. So a lot of patients will come in and they'll be like, I'm nursing right now. So your level of estrogen and progesterone changes during nursing, and that drop in estrogen is going to change your tissue a little bit and the consistency of it. So that can cause just some pain right at the insertion. So we're going to educate you on some ways that we can help to try to get that tissue to not be so painful. But that does play a role, is your hormones. Those women who are going through menopause, they also present to our clinic with pelvic pain because, again, they have lost some of that estrogen and some of that tissue, that good tissue mobility, which also can cause pelvic pain and pain with intercourse. So typically you're seeing a lot of pain with any sort of insertion, pain with intercourse, and pain with tolerating a woman's wellness exam, which are all very important for people's everyday life, you know, functionally.
So, yeah. So what is the best, like, prescription that you can give them besides like pelvic floor physical therapy? Like what are some things they can do on their own to help manage their pain?
Sure. So definitely if you're someone who is not using lube, definitely a water-based, you know, something natural to start with that, to try to see if that helps, you know, some of the insertional pain. Definitely trying to relax your pelvic floor. So again, doing a lot of belly breathing, stretching prior to maybe having intercourse or going to your exam is definitely beneficial. Opening up those hips, because again, your hips play a role in relaxing the pelvic floor. So we would definitely recommend trying some deep breathing and some deep stretches. There are pelvic wands and dilators out there. There's been some back and forth about dilators now needing a prescription from a pelvic PT or a doctor. It wasn't like that before. You could used to get them off of Amazon. I don't think that's the case at the moment. There's a little bit of controversy going on about that. But dilators are basically tools that patients can use to help stretch. So they come in various sizes, and you would insert them and try to stretch your pelvic floor. Now, we do recommend that you come see a healthcare professional at least once before you use them, because they can be very intimidating and somewhat traumatizing if you don't know how to use them. So we do recommend at least one session to get educated on how to use those dilators if that is something that you want to move forward to. There are pelvic wands as well. They kind of look like a Theracane. And you can use them a lot of times if you have someone who's postpartum and they just have some scar tissue they need to work on. You can use that pelvic wand and you definitely can try to stretch that tissue out. Again, we would educate you on how to use it so it doesn't seem so intimidating. But those are all things people can use for tools at home that we've given if maybe they only come one time or maybe they just do a consultation with us, just so they're properly educated on how to use them.
Now, one of the things, at least in my experience, like, and this is my background, but I see a lot of women who are afraid, who are dealing with some sort of pelvic dysfunction, whether it's leaking or prolapse, probably especially prolapse, pelvic pain, that they're like scared to exercise.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to make it worse.
Sure.
But like in my experience, I mean, and I was too, and this is what I do, but actually like the more movement I got, it's like the stronger I got, then I could progress, you know, and like starting to lift heavier. And, you know, running was like the last thing that I felt like ready for. And I was still pretty symptomatic even when I started running, but it's just like, it's not like I went out and ran 3 miles. I kind of eased into it. So like, I guess put some women's mind at ease that they're not going to like make their issues worse, that like strength training when done in a progressive manner can actually make these symptoms better.
Yeah. I mean, you hit it on the nail. I mean, I preach pretty much what you said exactly. And I'm so excited that, you know, you've been through your own journey to be able to have that conversation with women. I think most women come into the clinic and they don't know what to do. And they're so scared of making everything worse for them. And I tell them, you know, everything is a slow progression. Let's find what you can do that is asymptomatic. Let's modify and let's work our way. And the stronger you get, the more you'll get back to whatever, you know, what you want to do, whether it's a plank, whether it's a jumping jack, whether it's running. There are so many phases to get there. But getting that fundamental strength back, like you're talking about glutes, squats, it's so important, because I think women forget that they're picking up car seats, they're picking up their babies probably 20 times a day. So those glutes, those legs, they have to be on point every time. So the best way to help strengthen that is to work with someone who can get you there slowly, you know, as you said, in a progressive manner. No one's saying go and do a deadlift with a full barbell, you know, that is not right. what I'm saying, but, you know, do I want you to start lifting maybe a 5-pound medicine ball? Yes. You know, because the baby's probably 15, you know, and let's start working with your breathing with that. And can you feel your abdominals kick in? Okay. Now let's try the next thing, you know, and progressively work on that strength. That itself will eventually be able to get you to higher impact things such as HIIT classes, such as running. Balance is such a big thing postpartum because you've lost so much of that weight shift through the center of gravity. So like progressively getting back into, okay, it may seem boring that you're standing on one foot right now, but then you're going to do a single leg deadlift and then you're going to do this. And guess what? Now you can run because you can functionally keep your body weight on one foot and your prolapse symptoms, gravity is not going to win. You have enough strength on the bottom to pick you up. So that progressive strengthening to me is the absolute key to success, you know, as we're putting women through, you know, whatever symptoms they may be experiencing. You know, I mean, we typically start somewhere, and then by the time we're done, they're back to doing everything, whether it be jump rope, lifting heavy weights. But in it, like you said, 90% of the time, 99%, maybe 95%, they feel better. Their symptoms are better by them getting stronger. 100%. Yeah. You just have to start slow. Like, and I get a question, probably the number one question I get is, should I do a crunch or should I do a sit up? You know, and I get that a lot, you know? And so and those are tricky questions because I have to watch you. I have to see, what do you look like when you do that? You know, and how can I modify that so you can feel like you're continuing to do abdominal work? I think people are afraid to go to fitness classes because they don't want to look different than everybody else in that area. So if I can give you one or two different modifications that doesn't really bring attention to you and you can still keep up, you're happy, your mind is happy, and you're still gaining strength. And guess what? As soon as you get strong, you can probably move on to the next, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny because prior to having a baby, I used to kind of demonize sit-ups, like, like you don't need to do, but like, honestly, it's such a functional movement, right?
Yeah,
like,
you have to get up off, you have to get up from the bed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hold and like get up off the floor. I mean, right. Until you have no core, do you realize how, oh my God, like a sit up is just like a completely functional exercise that like I need to be able to do just to like live, not, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Not just to do sit ups in the gym.
No. And I think that you can, again, like you may modify your the way you're doing them in the gym, but the whole end of the day is, are you strong enough to be able to do that movement when you need to? And can you do it safely? And I think like that's just, it's just so much of that is just changing the mindset a little bit. A lot of times women will say, I have knee pain. And I'm like, listen, if we just change your squat a little bit, no, there's no hard, fast rule that you have to have, feet under hips all the time. And I think they get caught up and I have to keep all my weight here. I'm like, no, I'm like, your pelvis, it may not work for you. Let's try something
And that's
different.
okay,
And that's
right?
okay. And that's safe. And you're okay, And so I do a lot of exercise modification changes. I use the word different. I never really say can't. I never really say don't, because I never want to upset anybody because I don't know what that person's journey is and what's important to them. I want them to tell me and then we can figure out something.
I appreciate that because I've also seen, in this world that like not all PTs are created equal either.
Oh,
And I feel like
yeah.
there are certain PTs that don't give the best information. Like,
100%.
right. Like maybe you shouldn't run because you have prolapse, or maybe you should wait until you have after you're done having babies. But let's talk about that too. Like, okay, I want to have, a few babies. So I'm just gonna wait until after I'm done having babies to like get fixed. But like, don't you think like a woman should spend some time getting strong in between pregnancies, even if she does want to have them close together? Like,
I mean, 100%. That's kind of back to what I was saying about the pelvic floor being forgiving. If you don't get it back to where it was at least a certain percentage, you get a little weaker the second time, and you get a little weaker the third time. And now you've weakened it times three, and you're trying to give your body the same expectation that you did after number one. So why not instead keep your glutes strong, keep your core activated, keep your breathing, because all of those three components are going to help your pelvic floor. We tell patients come in who are timid, maybe they don't want an internal. So maybe they're shying away from coming to pelvic PT because that's something they don't want. But there's so much more beyond that. I mean, we see patients where maybe we're not doing internal because that's just not what they feel like they want. And that's okay. That's a personal choice, But are there things that we can do that will still support the pelvic floor? 100%. And that education piece to them is, to me, just so important. Like, hey, listen, we can still work your pelvic floor, even if maybe, even though we recommend maybe that we just get an assessment, if that's just not where you are at right now, that's okay. But don't suffer in silence and not come because you're afraid that you have to have an internal, because you don't, I mean, again, we'll recommend what we think is best for you, but we will also find ways to work on things that we will identify, whether it's pressure management, whether it's glute strength, maybe it's hip strength, maybe you're someone who had history of, SI dysfunction, and we can kind of work on that. And we can also release you superficially with superficial muscle release. That's, more in your adductors, where we don't have to necessarily do internal. So I think there's just a scope of things that you can do in between pregnancies and even throughout to educate yourself on how to utilize your pelvic floor the most optimally for success.
Okay, I'm gonna put you on the spot here. And I wanna ask this question because again, we talked about like not all PTs are created equal. And I know that you like to collaborate and everything like that, but I love what you said about like you don't always treat internal because I think people think pelvic floor physical therapy and it's all internal work. But like you said, I think internal work is great, but we have to look at the whole picture. So, what are some like two or three, if you think of more, great, but what are some like red flags? Like, if someone's going to PT and they're not really getting better, they're not really sure if they're getting like the right care, or you know what I'm saying? Like, what are some things that they can look out for that, like, maybe I should get a second opinion? Because there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong into looking for another provider that maybe
Absolutely.
is more along the lines of like their goals.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we collaborate a decent amount with, orthopedic physical therapists that maybe are don't specialize in pelvic health, and we definitely, these conversations usually come where, and I tell patients as well, if you've been somewhere where you've gone 12 visits and you're not getting better, that is like a double red flag. You know, I mean, it's time to move on. And that doesn't mean that the person you're working with is good or bad, but there should be some change. Okay, there should be some improvement. If you're also someone, and this is just my personal opinion, like I don't really do 12 sessions of just internal. Like to me, the pelvic floor is so forgiving that typically after 4 to 5, people are 95% usually like, I'm really good there. Like I'm, and then we're usually working at the other layers that potentially cause the pelvic floor dysfunction. So if you are someone who you're going somewhere and you haven't done anything but internal, to me, that's also a little bit of like, well, what else are they doing functionally with you? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now the opposite is true. If you are dealing with some dysfunction and they've never done an internal and you're like, what's going on here? Like, I know there's something inside and it's been 6 sessions. You may want to ask that question or seek other, you know, another provider, you know, I mean, so it could go both ways. It just really depends on what, you know, what are you feeling again? Like, are you feeling like what is happening? And you understand, you have that awareness, you're getting educated to know, yeah, I'm seeing changes, you know, are you seeing a change? You know, very, very frequently I'll have people come in and be like, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I do not operate that way. I'm like, we're going to work together to figure out what's best for you. Because 3 sets of 10 is not always the best for everybody. And I am not going to give you a prescription. I just don't do that. I say, I need you to feel. Some people like to sit and butterfly stretch for 2 straight minutes. Other people are like 20 seconds. And that's all I get. I don't have any more time. I have 4 kids. You're lucky if I get 10 breaths in. Great. Great. Mm-hmm. To me, you know, you have to be so specific in exercise prescription and your treatment plan specifically for every person, because every mama is different. Every person is different. And I just think that the red flags that you have to see is if you're not seeing any sort of changes one way or the other in any which way. And then the other aspect, if, you know, like if we have someone who's really has a lot going on, you know, we will outsource to others. Like, okay, maybe you need to see our friend who's works with a chiro. We outsource to our nutritionist all the time when we have GI. We are not GI and we're not going to pretend that we're GI, you know, but that collaboration is so important. Maybe you're going to an ortho PT and you're seeing me. That's okay too, because sometimes you need both. Maybe you're going to your fitness instructor and you're seeing me. And guess what? We're going to talk on the phone. They're going to do their part and I'm going to do mine. And we're going to fix you. I think PTs get really stuck in their lane and they feel like they have to. And if they can't do it all, then they're like, sorry, I can't help you. And I just don't believe that. Right. I believe it could, especially women who have so much going on, or potentially even there could be a slew of us. There could be a team of 4 of us that need to figure this out. That's a good thing.
Right.
You know, that's a great thing.
Right.
That's how it should be. That's how we should, because I shouldn't know everything, because, you know, then I'd be a millionaire and I'm not. So, you know.
Yeah.
I need that support just like the next, you know, healthcare professional, healthcare coach needs my support. You know, absolutely. So I think for a patient, to just to kind of sum up with your question, I think asking, am I getting the support that I need in order to see the changes that I'm looking for? Because you know what? We're all busy. And if we're going somewhere, we got to see something changing.
Absolutely. And I think if you don't also have somebody who's kind of supportive of your goals.
Right.
Like for me, that was a red flag. Like I was like, I want to run again. Like,
yeah.
And I think I can run again. Like, why is that, you know? So that was for me like, okay, like I need to go see somebody that can help me get to that.
We rarely ever tell anybody don't. Like, you'll never hear that from really any of, I have 2 therapists here. We don't really ever say don't. We say, we're going to try. We're going to do everything we can. And, you know, we're going to work together, because you don't know someone's journey. If running is where they are at, it is not the PT's job to tell them what to do. It's just not, that just makes us eccentric.
Right.
So I believe that.
Yeah, I love that. And yeah, collaboration. I mean, that's the name of the game. Like for me, it's like collaborating with the PT, because you only have so much time in the day too, right? I mean, you see what, you see patients once a week at best.
Yeah. And honestly, our model here, we see patients once a week, but we very quickly try to get them to every other week, because we want them to go to the gym and we want them to see their health coach or their trainer or their yoga instructor, wherever they're going, because we want to know that they did okay. And then they can come back and say, guess what? I got through the entire class and I was good. That's right. That's a win. But if they couldn't get through the class, then they can come back and say, and we can be like, all right, what's our next step?
What's going on? Yeah.
What's going on? During what part of that class did you have that difficulty? Let's identify that. Let's break that down. Let's figure it out. I always tell patients, fail with me. Don't fail by yourself. So leave me for 3 weeks and then come back.
Yeah, and so absolutely.
How that went for you. Did you live your life and were you okay? Did the tools I give you, did they help? I only know if I let you go for a little bit, but then you got to come back and then we'll be good. You know, so we break it down. We break it down from weekly to every other week to monthly to, you know,
when they
know
when they need to. Yeah.
When they need to schedule when they do. And everybody can use a tune up. It doesn't mean you're falling apart. It's just a tune up.
That's what we say.
You know,
just a little quick, you know.
Yeah. It happens to the best of us, you know, so, and that's okay. Yeah. And usually they're happy 2 sessions and they're done. They just needed a restart. Yeah. We get busy with life. We get it.
Yeah. Now, do you accept insurance? Are you cash based? Like, what does your model look like from a business perspective?
So we're a hybrid model. So we do, we take some insurances, we take Blue Cross, we do take Medicare, and we take, we just recently took Cigna because we were able to get a good network rate with them. And then the other insurances are cash. Our cash rates are pretty reasonable. We keep them in line with Blue Cross. People can submit them, obviously, with super bills and get those reimbursed. But those are the ones that we take as of right now.
Okay.
So we're a little awesome. Both in. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. And then I love that you said that you give people an exercise prescription too, because I think that's a big miss too with PTs is like, they just do internal work and then they kind of like, you know, send them on their merry way. And and I guess that's what I do, right? Is I do exercise prescription as well, but it would be nice to be like, what are the exercises you got from PT and how can I build that into your program? Right. Because most 100%. Of the time, at least for me, my PT gave me like 2 or 3 exercises and I'd build them into my workout. Right.
Yeah. And I think that's what you just should do. I mean, I think as a PT, we're giving you the core foundation and then, and how to be able to safely do anything that you want to go back to.
Yeah.
You know, cause we, you know, and that's important, you know, is kind of really understand, you understand your body, you can do anything. I believe that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, where can people find you? Do you have a website people can go to?
They can go to www.pelvictherapyfitness.com. And over there, they can click on a link and they can set a form up and it'll link them to schedule. And then we will call them to schedule an appointment. They can also call the number on the website and they can schedule an appointment there as well. I also do free 20-minute consultations for anybody who just has questions. I know there's a lot of people out there who are not sure about things and I respect that. So they can always do a 20-minute free consultation with me to just kind of get any questions answered that they may have. That way they just have to tell our receptionist, Evie, hey, can I do a 20-minute consult? And she will set that up for them. And then again, they can always do an appointment, whatever works for them. But the website will pretty much has all our information as far as our email, our contact information, and how to schedule as well. And we would love to see them.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the information. I loved having you on today.
Yeah. And I loved being here. Thank you so much. We hear great things about you. One of our patients works with you. She had nothing but amazing things to say. So thanks for all everything you do for the community.
Yeah. Likewise. All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Mama Project podcast. If you'd like to see more from me, head over to Instagram and follow me there. You can also check out my Mama Project channel on YouTube. If you'd like more information on any of my coaching programs, I'll include my contact info in the show notes so we can connect. Again, don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss out when new episodes are released. See you next time.